trust that you are going to that beautiful place that is four square, that place that is eternal, and that you know that you're on your way to that marvelous place tonight. I wonder, could we turn in our Bibles to the Gospel of Luke, please? And we're turning to chapter 7 of Luke's Gospel, and we're going to read from verse 36 of the portion of Scripture, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 7, and reading from verse 36. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bitten him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence, and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, Thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, Thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. Amen. We know the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word to our hearts. Let's just unite again the wee word of prayer. Our gracious and our loving God, we thank thee for thy blessing upon us already tonight. We thank thee for the reminder of that beautiful, marvelous place. We thank thee that though the record is kept, yet, Lord, those are under the blood. That record is blotted out. We thank that every sin has been taken away. And we pray, gracious God, that thou wouldst even help us to know that great forgiveness of sin. And thou wouldst write thy word upon hearts tonight and draw sinners to the Savior. Bless and be with us and help us tonight, we pray of thee. For it's in Jesus' precious name I would ask these things. Amen. Amen. In one of the cities of Galilee, the Lord Jesus was teaching the people, and a Pharisee named Simon came to hear him. Now, Simon was like the other Pharisees, a strict religionist. He was much more concerned with the outwardness of religion than the inwardness of spirituality. And like many other of the Pharisees, Simon came to find fault with the Lord Jesus Christ. And as he listened to the Lord, he could find no fault. He could not see anything that he did, nor he could hear anything that he had said that would in any way incriminate him. So he felt we would need to take a closer look. And he thought, well, I will invite him home and bring him into my house, and there I'll have close proximity, and I'll be able to speak to him and have conversation. And maybe in the midst of the conversation, I will be able to detect what is wrong or what fault there is in this man. So the Lord was invited to Simon's house, and he went, and all the guests came in. And in those days, not only the people that were invited would have come, but uninvited guests also could have had entrance. In those days, they would have sat round tables in a courtyard, or they wouldn't have sat, they would have lain with their feet on couches and their heads near the table. And while they were in that position, we read of another uninvited guest who comes into the midst. She comes into this dining hall, and she hurries to the feet of the Lord Jesus, and she kneels at his feet. And she's evidently in great distress because she's weeping. And she's weeping so much that the tears that she sheds are running down her face, and they're so profuse that the tears are being used to wipe the feet of the Lord Jesus. And not only is she wiping the feet of the Lord Jesus and washing them with her tears, but she is wiping the feet with her hair. And then we read that she had a box of ointment, an alabaster box, a very precious box. And she broke the box, and she took this costly perfume, and she anointed his feet with the perfume that was there. And Simon the Pharisee is watching all this, and he's filled with revulsion. He knew that this woman was a great sinner, and he felt, I've found the fault. I have been able to detect what is wrong. This man, if he was a prophet, would know what kind of woman this was. She's a harlot. She was a sinner. She was a notorious individual. And he was surprised that the Lord Jesus, if he was a holy man, would let this sinner into any proximity with him. And he felt, I found the fault. And he was surprised when he saw the Lord Jesus allowing this woman to weep at his feet. And he said in his heart, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this was that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And we read that the Lord Jesus turned to answer him, and he said, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And Simon said, Master, say on. And he told him a story about two debtors. One had been loaned a great amount of money, and the other a very much lesser amount of money. And when it came to paying back the debt, neither of the two of them could pay. And in their distress, they came to the rich man, and he freely forgave them both. And the Lord asked the question. He said, tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? And Simon answered, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And the Lord Jesus said, thou hast rightly judged. And then he turned to Simon, and he said, looking at the woman who was weeping at his feet, he said, seest thou this woman? He said, I entered into thy house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. What a day that was for that woman. And she came into the feet of the Lord Jesus, and she knelt there in humility, and there she was, weeping tears of conscience before the Lord. And she went away with her sins forgiven. Thank God that there in a moment of time, her life was changed for the better. And the people were amazed. Not only were they amazed at what the Lord Jesus had said, but they were amazed at the fact that he could pronounce that the woman's sins were forgiven. And they said to one another, who is this that forgiveth sins also? And it is that question that I want to take as my text tonight. Who is this? Who is this that can forgive sins? Who is this that can give you peace of conscience? Who is this that can transform your life, can send you away with every sin that you've committed, all forgiven and washed away? You know, Margarita Lasky was a secular humanist. She was a novelist. She died in 1988. But before she died one time, she said this: "What I envy most about you Christians is your forgiveness. I have nobody to forgive me." There's a woman that felt that there was nobody to forgive her. But I'm glad tonight that there's one who will forgive you. One who can wash your sins away. One who can do a mighty thing in your life. And we want to see who this is. They said, "Who is this?" And I want to see the one who can forgive sin. And as we look at the Lord Jesus here then, in this portion of Scripture, there are a number of things that I want you to see about him. The first thing that I want you to see is the comprehension he demonstrates. The question that the people there in that feast were asking is, "Who is this?" And as we look at the portion of Scripture, that one of the things that we can tell about the Lord Jesus, which is clearly demonstrated, is the fact that he knows the heart. He knows the inside. He knows about us. He knows our motivations. He knows our desires. He knows our thoughts. He knows our actions. And as our brethren were singing earlier on, he records those things down. There are the records that are put there before God, and one day those books will be opened. Now, Simon felt that the fault that he had found with the Lord Jesus is that he didn't know. He thought was, "Well, I have found out he's not a prophet, because if he was a prophet, he would know who this woman was. He would know that she was a sinner." And because the Lord allowed this woman into his presence, he felt, "Well, here it is. Here's the proof. This man doesn't know that this woman's a sinner." And the Lord Jesus turned round and gave him a mighty demonstration of the fact that not only did he know the woman, but he knew Simon too. Look at verse 39 and you'll see what I mean. It says, "Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is, what touches him, for she is a sinner." Now the point that I want you to get tonight is the words that he said within himself. He spake within himself. All that Simon was saying here, or what his report is him saying, he was saying in his heart. He didn't say it outwardly. It was a thought that was going through his mind. He didn't put it upon his lips. He didn't voice it outwardly in any way. This was all within his heart. But I want you to see what it says in the next verse, in verse 40. "And Jesus answering him said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat against thee." What was the Lord Jesus answering? The Lord Jesus was answering the unspoken thought of the Pharisee. He was answering what the Pharisee had thought in his mind but had not voiced outwardly. In other words, the Lord Jesus had seen what was going on in the mind and in the heart of this Pharisee. And he was able to tell this man what he was thinking. And here's the Lord Jesus, and he was able to tell the very heart of this man. And I'm sure that Simon was stunned when he realized what was taking place. And I'm sure here these people, as they were thinking of this fed into the question, "Who is this? Who is this? Who is this that knows our heart? Who is this that can tell what Simon was thinking?" Of course, we read in the Bible that he's one who knows all things. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, and verse 13, it says, "Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do." Dear friend, all things are naked. They're open. Nothing hid. Nothing that you can hide from God. Proverbs 15:3. "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good." He's here tonight. He's looking down. He's in the town tonight. He sees the people in the public house. He sees the people in the nightclub. He sees the people that are in the dens of iniquity of this day and generation. He sees your heart. And you notice what he saw in this portion of Scripture. He saw their sin. Because he was able to turn to the woman, he said, "Thy sins are forgiven thee." He had seen her sin. He knew who she was. And there was a great comparison here that he makes between Simon and the woman. But you can see that in the midst of the comparison, that the Lord Jesus understands exactly who this woman is and what she had done. The Lord had searched in the very recesses of her heart. You think of the police when they come to search, and they will do a thorough job. They will look into every nook and every cranny. If they're going to search a person for contraband, they will take every opportunity, and they will look in every place, and sometimes they will make them strip, and they will make sure that everything is searched to the last. And the police search is a very thorough search. You think of the doctor, and he will go further, and if he's looking for something, he will take the scanner or the MRI or something else or the stethoscope, and he will look beyond the outward, and he'll look into the inward. He'll see the organs. He'll see the workings of the body, and he will be able to detect, hopefully, what is going wrong. You know, the Lord's searching is far beyond the kind of search that the police does and the kind of search that the doctor does, because man can look on the outward, and man can see so much, but he can't see the heart. God looks at the thoughts. God looks at the actions. Like a child knows its master's voice, or like a couple knows the meaning of one another's eye. Far more than that, the Lord understands. We may wrap ourselves in excuses. We try to give ourselves a cloak of respectability. But dear friend, you can't hide from God. He sees your sin. Not only does he see your sin, but he sees your self-righteousness. Because that's evident when we look at Simon here. He was a self-righteous Pharisee, and he was a religious man. And the Lord Jesus told the parable about the man with the 500 pieces of silver and the man with 50 pieces of silver. And the Lord was pointed out the two of them, and they were both debtors. And by that, the Lord was pointing out that while Simon was walking maybe on the clean side of the broad road, that he was still a debtor. He still owed something. He was not as right as he thought he was. And the Bible says there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. James 2 and 10 says, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he's guilty of all. He's guilty of all. And certainly this woman was a vile sinner. And certainly she was right down in the very depths of society. But there was Simon in his self-righteousness congratulating himself. And when the light of God, when the light of the Savior shined in his heart, he wasn't just as righteous as he thought he was. And neither are you. God's standard is a standard of perfection. But here's the wonder of the gospel. Here was this woman in her sin. And there was this Pharisee in his self-righteousness. And the Lord knew about them and saw everything that they thought and everything that they were. And yet in his love and in his mercy, he reached down to save her. And reached down to save him if he would come. Here is a man, here is the Savior. Here is the one who is able to save to the uttermost. The Bible says, who is this? Well, he is the one who comprehends. He's the one who knows all about us. We see the comprehension he demonstrates. But then I want you to see the capacity he possesses. The question is, who is this that forgiveth sins also? And the answer to that is one who has capability. The one who is able to forgive sins. Look at verses 47 and 48. And you read how the Lord Jesus says to Simon, wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom is little, whom little is forgiven, the same loveth much. And then in verse 48 he says, thy sins are forgiven. Can you imagine what that must have meant to that woman? Here she was, and she'd come into the presence of the Lord Jesus. We're not told why she came in, but as she comes in, there is a conviction of sin in her heart. She comes weeping. She comes with a stricken conscience. Something has spoken to her about her vile way of life. Something maybe as she's detected and looked at the Lord Jesus, maybe she's been listening to the message that he preaches. And as she listens and as she looks, somehow the vileness of her heart is exposed and she comes to the Savior in distress of heart. There's a great brokenness here. Oh, man and woman, if I could bring you into the presence of the Lord, if I could just get you fully into God's presence tonight, and if you were to look up from where you are and look in His eyes and see His perfection, you'd see how vile you are and you'd come weeping. The Lord Jesus was able to take away her sin. The Bible says in Hebrews 7 verse 25, He is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. Here was this woman. And the Lord Jesus Christ says, your sins are forgiven. How could He do that? Thank God He made the way at the cross of Calvary. There He shed His blood. There He died, the just for the unjust, to bring us to God. You know, in Ecclesiastes 3 and 15, it says, God requireth that which is past. In other words, it means that all our past sins will be called into account. And brethren, we're singing about that day when the records will be opened. We will be called to account. We'll have to give an account of ourselves. All our selfishness, all our bad works, all the things that we've done, our hatred, our guilt, all those things, they'll be exposed. But you know, the Lord Jesus Christ is able to forgive you. Remember the great declaration, Isaiah 1 and 18, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as wool. As though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Oh, thank God, the Lord Jesus is able to save sins. But look at the source of forgiveness here. It is based solely in the mercy of God. See, there was nothing in this woman. Oh, yes, the woman came weeping. Certainly she did. Certainly the woman wiped the feet of the Lord Jesus with her tears and brought this ointment and anointed the feet of the Lord Jesus. But you know, that was a demonstration of her faith. Her salvation, the forgiveness of sins, was only at the mercy of God. You know, if you want forgiveness tonight, the source of that forgiveness is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. God demands justice, but Christ on the cross of Calvary has satisfied divine justice. In Him we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Thank God, the one who was punished took away our sins tonight, and there's mercy with the Lord. Not only do you see the source of forgiveness, but look at the singularity of forgiveness. Only the Lord could forgive her. These people said, who is this that forgiveth sins also? They knew that none but God could forgive sins. And here is the one God manifested in this flesh. And the Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. And you know, there's the exclusivity of the gospel. You know, the people portray religion today as a matter of opinion. They would present one religion as good as the other. But that's not the message of the Bible. There's only one way of salvation. There's only one who can forgive. Buddha can't forgive you. Muhammad can't forgive you. The leaders of the cults of this day, the Reverend Boone, so on and so forth, they cannot forgive you. Forgiveness is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Your priest can't forgive you. The parson can't forgive you. The pastor can't forgive you. I can't forgive you. Only Christ can forgive you. And that's the one that we direct you to. We notice the singularity of this forgiveness. But look at the setting of this forgiveness. This woman was forgiven in the setting of her faith. Her faith brought that forgiveness to her. There she was with this perfume, and it demonstrated her faith. And she was wiping the feet of the Lord Jesus with the hair of her head. And of course, in the Bible, hair is the symbol of the glory of the woman. We read that in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. But here she is, and she takes that which is worthy of
or which is demonstrated her glory. And she takes that and she uses it as an old rag to wipe the dirt of the feet of the Lord Jesus. She gets down at his knees. There she is in humility. There she's coming in humility before the Lord, seeking the forgiveness of her sins. She came to Jesus' feet. That's the key. You see, dear friend, you've got to come by faith. It's all right knowing that there's forgiveness. It's all right knowing that Christ has died on the cross. But you've got to latch on to it. You've got to claim it by faith. There's a famous story told about Lord Congleton. Many years ago, he was a missionary out in the land of India. And he returned to his estate in England, and he was an ardent Christian, and he had a passion for souls, and also he was a generous-hearted individual. And one day in his village, and on his estate, there went up a notice, and it read like this: Lord Congleton will present with his steward at his office between the hours of 9 and 12 on Tuesday the 14th instant, and there pay freely all accounts and debts to whomsoever due of any of his tenants, who cannot discharge their obligation. To avail of this offer, the applicants must present their accounts in the form of separate bills containing the exact statement of amount and the nature of the debts owing to each creditor. They must also give a statement of their own means and whatsoever property they have. Signed, Congleton. And the notice was put up in different parts of the village, and the crowds gathered round the different notices, wondering what it meant. Some said, well, we'll go and ask the steward in the steward's office what it means. Some thought it was something crazy that Lord Congleton had lost leave of his senses and that he had gone crazy altogether. But there was nobody that believed that the Lord was going to pay their debts. So the day came round, and Lord Congleton came in at 9 o'clock. And the door of the steward's office was shut, and they waited there for 2 hours, and nobody came. And then after 2 hours, at about 11 o'clock, an old couple came in. They were very poor. And they said, is it true that Lord Congleton has offered to pay our debts? And they were told it was true. And they said, have many other people been in? And they said, nobody has been in before you. And they said, and the man caught sight of the notice on the door, and he said to his wife, he said, why, wife, that's his lordship's signature. He'll keep his word. And Lord Congleton brought them in, and he said to them, well, why should I pay your debt? And the old man said, I don't rightly know, sir. But he said, I see your signature on the notice. And he says, I believe you'll keep your word. And Lord Congleton said, that's enough. He says to the steward, write out the full amount for the man's debts, and they'll all be paid. And the man, of course, he was full of joy. He said, we will die without debts. And to his wife. And there he was, and he was filled with elation. He says, we've got to go and tell our neighbours. But Lord Congleton stopped him. He says, no. He said, they must trust my word the way that you have trusted my word. And he kept them in a room, and he talked with them until 12 o'clock and had conversation with them. But at 12 o'clock, the door was open. Nobody else had come in. And there was a crowd gathered around the door, and Lord Congleton spoke. He said, my friends, I gave you opportunity to come, and I would have paid your debts, but you didn't believe me. And I'm sorry, but it's past midday and it's now too late to take advantage of my offer. And there his steward and he went away in the carriage, and the village was left sorrowful except for the two that had their debts paid. And there was this man, and he'd promised to make all debt free. He had promised that he would pay the price, and only two availed, only two believed that he would pay the debts that they owed. Dear friend, will you believe that the Lord Jesus can forgive your sins? Do you believe that he's able? You see the capacity of Christ. Here he says to the woman, thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. Oh, Christ can say to you tonight, You're saved. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Her sins, which are many, he said, are all forgiven. I don't know how many sins you have, and neither do you. There are many things that you've done in life, and you don't even recognize it to be sin. So many people have a very low opinion of what sin is. But dear friend, your sins, which are many, can all be wiped away by the blessed hand, the nail-scarred hands of my blessed Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. We see the capacity he possesses. Who is this? We see the comprehension he shows and the capacity he possesses. But there's one more thing I want you to see about this one who is able to forgive sins. Look at the calm he provides. He says to the woman, "Thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. Go in peace." What a wonderful thing for this woman. She was able to go away with peace. Here she'd come in tears. She'd come in anguish. She'd come with her conscience burdening her. She'd come with the thought of the many things that she had done and the many situations she'd got herself into. But now here is the one who is the Prince of Peace. And he's able to say to her, "Go away in peace." Buddha won't give you peace. Buddhist practices won't give you peace. There are a lot of people who think that they will. There are people who are going along to their yoga classes. They're going along to their meditation. They think that it will bring some kind of peace to their heart. And it might do for a little time. But there's no long-term peace except that which my Savior is able to give. Here's peace of conscience. But here's the woman, and her conscience was striking her. And here she was in the midst of this turmoil of sin. The Lord Jesus gives peace of conscience. I was reading about a lady by the name of Carrie. And Carrie came to her pastor in tears. She sat across the desk from the pastor, wringing her hands. She was hardly able to speak. She had had many sleepless nights. And years before, she had fallen into an illicit relationship. Now, her guilt-stricken conscience had forced her to end the affair in a short time. But now, years later, she's sitting in the pastor's study in tears. And sleep for nights before had been taken away from her. The Bible says, "There's no peace, saith my God, to the wicked." Maybe you have not been kept awake at night. But there are those things in your heart and in your life, and when you think of them, they make you cringe. There are those things that make you squirm when you think of those things that you've done and those things that you've thought. I'm glad tonight that there's peace. Peace at the cross. Not only is there peace of conscience, but there's peace with God. Today you're fighting with him. Today you're ended against him. Today you will not own his claims or take him to be your Savior. But thank God you can be reconciled to God tonight. You can make peace with your Maker. Let me tell you, there's no peace in this world. There's no peace in the things of this world. This world is a world of war and turmoil and struggles and trials. You know, the child of God is an inner peace. William Patton was the minister in Drumara Presbyterian Church many years ago. And he once asked a godly young woman if she wished to lead someone to Christ, what she would say first. And the young lady thought for a wee while, and she said, "I would begin by telling them about the happiness of a Christian." I'm not saying that all the life of a Christian is one that is flowers and roses and a bed of roses. But there's an inner peace and a happiness. You know, those have sought their spells and their thrills and the things of this world. and found the hard way that there's no peace there. Lord Byron was a man who indulged himself in the things of the flesh, the great poet and the great genius he was. But he was a man who was very silly when it came to his soul. And just before his death, at the early age of his 30s, he wrote the poem in the prospect of his death, and he said, "Though gay companions o'er the bowl dispel a while the sense of ill, though pleasures fill the maddening crowd, the heart is lonely still. Count o'er the joys thine hours have seen, count o'er the days from anguish free, and know whatever thou hast been, 'twere something better not to be." Is that true of you? Count o'er the days that are anguish free. Wherever you've been, must it be said of you, 'twere better that it wasn't, 'twere better not to be? But the Lord Jesus said to this woman, "Go in peace. Go in peace." And thank God tonight there's peace with the Savior. Who is this? Who is this? He's the one who knows your heart. Who is this? He's the one who's able to forgive. Who is this? He's the one who can say, "Go in peace." If you go with him, if you take him with you tonight, you can have peace of heart and peace of conscience and peace in the Holy Ghost. May God write his word upon our hearts for his name's sake.